Today's program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Ah, yes, you can tell by the sound of that headbang music that it is time for another edition of Eating Disorder on the Heritage Radio Network. I am Crazy Legs Conte, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Reverend.
Hey, it's the Reverend Spiro. What's up, people? Happy New Year.
It is. It is 2015. It is our first show.
We were
so 2014 hungover that we did a repeat last week, which we've never done before. But I think we were hungover not from booze, although I had a little of that on the first, but hungover from food trends of 2014. And we're probably going to get to that later in the show. But What was – now, there's something big that has changed about you.
Well,
I can tell.
Yeah. I was hypnotized less than a week ago.
Chicken. Ecclesiastical. I'm just going to try random words and see if you get naked.
Yeah, no.
What were you hypnotized for?
Smoking. I'm trying to quit smoking. Yeah. And honestly – though my smoking intake has come down, it is not completely gone. But I signed up for the package. The package is it's an empowered hypnotism or whatever they're called. They're on 30th Street.
The 30th Street hypnotists.
Yes,
those
exactly.
are the best. Don't go to the 28th
now,
Street.
It was this little Irish guy named Craig with tiny hands like a carny. Oh. And he was really cool.
It just sounds like a Roger Corman film. Like a tiny hand guy is going to hypnotize you.
Really
I cannot
nice.
Imagine.
Really
what's
nice, but when I shook his hand because I'm a goon, you know, I grabbed his forearm.
All right,
but really nice guy. It's kind of like a guided meditation, but I'm not there yet. I'm not at the point where I've stopped. But I bought a package, so therefore, you know, I even asked him as I was leaving. I'm like, I'm grabbing for my cigarette pack. Is that normal? He goes, well, you know, you're going to rebel a bit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, where's the hypnotism where I can just stop smoking?
Right.
You know, so, but I'm dedicated to this. So for the next six
focused
weeks.
On it. I could tell because when you were outside smoking that butt, usually you get that last big breath in and you just let it go.
It actually feels kind of disgusting to me now.
Yeah.
Like I have this overall feeling.
Now you know how it feels to the rest of us. I do wish you well. I think it's good to quit smoking cigarettes, but don't quit smoking that Yaj that Burroughs was looking for in South America, the magical plant. So, but I did not have a life-changing hypnotic experience, but I did go see Billy Joel in his month residency at Madison Square Garden.
All right, we had a Facebook fight about this. Me and my girlfriend.
Okay,
I am a Joel fan.
Right, right.
She is, and she was also a host here.
Judy
McGuire, right? She is a Springsteen fan.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
You can never the twain shall meet.
No, not true.
What?
They've been on stage together. They have been. I'm not a Springsteen.
Non-benefit stage together? What do you mean?
No, they were on stage together in more than one case. You can look it up. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
But I'm not a Springsteen hater.
Right. Nor
I just
am I.
Think that Joel is a better singer and a better musician and a better player. That's all I'm saying. And writes better songs. That's all.
Well,
that's all.
I mean, wrote better songs.
Wrote.
If you read the biography, which was expertly reviewed by my good friend Chris Campion, who proved that Billy Joel is cool. I saw Billy Joel 1990 in the Cap Center. I borrowed my grandfather's car, drove it 35 miles an hour. He drove faster than me, and I took my two roommates to see him. One of whom was from Long Island. So this month-long residency, Billy Joel has done the most consecutive sellouts. He usually has a guest appear. He did not have a guest star the other night, but it was a great show. He opened up with the one song I really wanted to hear, which is Miami 2017, where New York is destroyed. And I love that Live at Shea Stadium album where he changes the lyrics.
So you like Joel as long as there's a sci-fi element.
Oh, exactly. Kind of sci-fi Billy Joel. But that was good. But then I did start the year off well with some creativity. My friend Chris Keneally and I created and shot a web series called Base Camp with some very talented people.
Cool.
And I was trying to curb my spending, but I just went off the rails today.
What happened?
Consumerism.
What happened?
Well, in the mail, I was a little disappointed. The Historical Emporium sent me another silk puff tie, which I enjoyed. But I've been getting into ascots. I don't know the difference between ascots and cravats. And I got a polyester number that was a slip knot Ascot. I thought I got cheated. I thought it was like a clip-on Ascot.
Wait, in other words, like the band?
Well, the purple $80 Ascot I bought uptown at a nice Japanese place.
So it wasn't
place.
Like an S&M metal mask.
No, like an Ascot has two ends to it that look like regular ties, and you tie them together.
Right.
The Slipknot one has just a hole in it, and you put the thing through. But then there is a way to tie it to make it look a little better. But polyester, I mean, it was chafing, and I didn't wear it out
tonight. And you had a Lululemon incident as well.
Well, I've been going to the gym trying to get back, and I thought, you know, I'm going to reward myself. I'm going to go and buy some gym shorts. You know, Lululemon, very trendy.
Yeah.
They were in the news in 2014 because some of the material was a little too...
flammable?
No. Oh. It was not viscous, but it was like too thin. Women were bending over in yoga classes, and you could see the...
So we'd be able to see your thumb.
Which is why I started working out again. I'm like looking for, but I go to a really cheap gym. It's like a bunch of hairy guys. So I go to the Lululemon store and I'm like, I don't really want the help from the guy telling me there's 10 shorts and 4 different liners. And he just keeps talking about what kind of support I need or expect from these brief liners or boxer. And then he said something interesting, which is at the other store on Worcester, they have a department where you choose the short, you choose the liner you want. So if I want the jogging active CrossFit sevens, but I want the bikini brief liner, which they don't offer, I can go to this little back corner and they will put it in 15 minutes. And I'm like, God, that just sounds... I'm walked in out of the store with my pair of white gym shorts and I'm like... I just have to go check this out. But then I got there and it was a bunch of guys talking about like the liners and I was like, all right, forget it. I'll just buy this pair. And so I left. Well,
all I want to know is how bad they chafe. And then
they got zippers with little pockets, which is why I go for them. You put your keys in them, but no chafing. The CrossFit ones had a tag that said there's a divider so your genitals don't get caught up on the seam. And I thought, you know, I don't need to know that. Just let me experience it and feel comfort.
That was our week.
Yes,
now, we do want to say that we do miss our friend Chef
Speaking
Paul
of
Girard.
Genitals on seams.
Yes.
Chef Paul, as you could tell, is not here.
He's not here, and he's going to be taking a hiatus for a little while. Starting something that we will be announcing soon, but not yet. But during that time, we're going to be playing a game. It's called "Where's Paldo?"
Where is Paldo?
Yeah. Then just keep an eye on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed as to the Where's Paldo, clues and whatnot.
We do know where he won't be tonight.
And it's Forky Radio on Twitter and Instagram.
But he will not be at ease.
No, he will not be at ease.
But our engineer, Liz, was gushing about the burger at ease, and she is heading there after the show, which is why we can't go long, because otherwise she'll leave and just go to Paul's other place, ease. So where's Paldo? I look forward to that. But
yes.
Another chef is going to join us tonight. Originally from the wilds of Illinois, growing up, her father was a police officer, last name Cunningham. And
go figure.
She's cooked everywhere, including the wilds of Alaska, trading Alaska in for Miami, where she worked at a famous chicken place called Yarbirds which we could talk about. Yes. And then coming to New York and working in a variety of places, both to help people open places. We have currently the executive sous chef of a new place that's going to open in hipster Williamsburg. And she'll tell us all about it. But Chef Amy Cunningham is with us tonight. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Really glad to be here.
Amy deserves extra credit because she actually came to one of our shows but didn't realize she could come in the studio.
Aww.
And she was eating. And it was a night I had
we
some
let homeless
obligation.
People in the studio.
We do.
Seriously.
But welcome to Eating Disorder. Despite the name, we don't actually talk about 14-year-old girls anorexic problems. We're on the cutting edge of food, and we're going to talk some food trends tonight. But first, tell us where you were today, because you have been waiting for something.
Yeah, no, we're opening a new restaurant, so I spent my entire day waiting for a delivery that never came.
Yes.
Oh,
so
isn't that awesome?
That was it.
Don't you love when the beer guys and the purveyors do that? They make you sit there?
Well, it was a really exciting shipment, actually. It's like all new stuff for the kitchen.
Cambros hardware.
And like, the really fun stuff.
All the stuff that you get, toys.
Yes, my toys. They did not show up today, sadly.
I'm sorry.
Are chefs divided into those who like equipment and those who like exotic ingredients, or can they commingle?
No, I can't imagine a chef that doesn't love equipment.
Okay.
You can't cook without it. I mean, yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm sure there are some chefs that don't like exotic ingredients, but
I heard a chef recently say that he hated truffles. And I was
what?
Okay. I don't mind.
I hate truffle oil.
But I don't mind if you're a chef who, in your casual dining, doesn't want to interact with certain ingredients. But it seems like as a chef, you have to paint with all these different palettes.
At the same time, though, the moment the smell of a truffle gets to me, like I slobber like a freaking like a mastiff. I'm like, you know,
somehow
we got our hands on some truffles when I was in DC, and it was just so much fun. We put them in everything, like literally as soon as we got them, we're like, oh, we're gonna have, you know, fish with truffles. Like, that doesn't go together. It doesn't matter.
Fish and truffles. Yeah,
everything.
Well, actually,
truffles.
You know, we're gonna talk a little bit about trends or whatnot, and I want to shout out our friend Ralph S. Mouse over at the Pine Box around the corner from
sure,
Roberta's
absolutely.
Here. You know, and I asked a couple of people, like, you know, what is it that you hated about 2014? What was overdone? And he said, radishes. He goes, freaking radishes in everything. If you go down freaking Bedford Avenue, they put fucking radishes in ice cream.
Oh,
okay.
You know what though? I would eat radish ice cream.
Yeah,
I would. But I missed radishes as a trend.
No, it's. I see where he's coming from because I was living in Williamsburg, and they would side everything with radishes as a garnish or a side or whatnot. I love radishes from the standpoint of I'm not a big fan of the taste, but if you're eating Mexican and you got a crap stomach like I do, man, they kill the heartburn. They do.
Really?
They really do.
I see a lot of beets. I didn't see a lot of radishes.
We did baby radishes at one of the places I worked at. It was just in a bowl with a little dish of butter and charged an outrageous amount of money delicious. But I mean, that was it. It was just radishes and butter. We did nothing.
Isn't that amazing the amount you can charge for things that come from dirt?
Yeah.
Right? Processed food, you need a factory. We got to make this.
Here's the thing.
Here's something I found in the dirt. $17 bucks. Pal.
And when I was 10 years old, I told my mother to go fuck herself feeding it to me. But hey, you know.
But you have worked a lot of. We're going to keep talking about food trends, but you've worked in how many places since? And this is not because you got shit canned from places. This was because people asked you to come in and help open places
The first place I worked was in Greenpoint. That was the reason I came to New York. A fellow chef, or chef I worked for, Jeff from Yardbird, wanted me to open a gastropub in Greenpoint. So I came to do that. Then wound up getting an opportunity at Cook Shop, which was amazing. I learned a ton. Then, of course, you know, my roommate was opening a restaurant. And he needed some help getting operations going. I think five different places.
Because you were in D.C. for a week.
Yeah, I was in D.C. for a week. That was just a really old friend that is an amazing chef, and it was just fun to work with.
And now this place is called?
The Camlin.
The Camlin, which in Ireland is a...
It means Crooked Stream?
Crooked Stream.
Yeah.
All right, let's
or Crooked Line. It's the name of a river in Ireland.
Well, let's hope it... is just that way in the effervescence liquid they pour as opposed to in the restroom.
And shameless plug, where is it going to be?
Oh, it's going to be on Kent and North 3rd.
Okay. Which is actually perfect. I do babysit over there, and there's not a lot of go-to. And the person, the five-year-old, his mom's like, you can go to a bar. And I've been to a lot of bars with the five-year-old. So a wine bar would be a nice welcome change.
Yeah, and you can get some ice cream nearby also.
Yes, next to Oddfellows, which... I have been stalking to try to get. They have a tobacco leaf ice cream. Oh, you're hypnotized. You're not supposed to smoke anymore. Could you eat tobacco leaf ice cream?
Why would I?
Why would you? What do you mean?
I'm trying to make the taste. Okay, the part of the hypnotism was you know, cigarettes taste terrible. Cigarettes are horrible.
Yeah, but ice cream tastes delicious.
Yeah, but I know. But the point is that I might as well do the patch and the gum and the freaking and the e-cigarette. It's like the whole idea is to make it aberrant to me. You know.
All right. Well, Chef Amy, you are tasked with making friends with the Oddfellows crew because I want to eat a crawfish ice cream. Around April, I will pay to have it custom made.
I would do that.
But in there, they have 120 flavors, and they rotate through, and I have not yet seen tobacco leaf. So I did Earl Grey and Neapolitan. Neapolitan was phenomenal for some reason.
I got my girlfriend oyster chocolates once.
Ooh.
The idea sounds good, right?
Chocolate wrapped oysters?
No, it sounds like. And it was, what's his name? I can't remember the chocolatier.
Jacques Torres.
No, the other guy. Make fancy boxes.
Yul Brynner's son, the bald man.
Whatever. It tasted like vomit.
Whitman. It tasted General like Whitman.
Vomit. It tasted like vomit.
Okay.
Like oysters and chocolate together. Mm. Tastes like something that came out, not that should go
All
in.
All right.
Okay.
So Reese's is not coming out with
it. Nah, I don't see Hershey doing it.
All right. Actually, I have tasted a lot of the food and wine at the previous wine bar because Amy was kind enough to invite me along for a tasting. And speaking of oysters, I learned from the owners there's a place in Portland, Eventide, that does dirty martinis with oyster juice in
like
Portland,
that.
Maine.
That's different.
Yeah.
And so I actually bought for my father and his wife a $100 gift certificate for them in Portland, Maine. So there's a lot of food trends we like.
Yeah.
Oysters will forever be one of the big ones for me.
Of course.
But I'm going to give you another one you emailed me that I still don't believe. 2014 food trend, toast? What? I don't understand.
Bon Appetit magazine, the cover.
Yes.
Toast. If you're not on the toast train, get on it. That's on their website today. They were talking about flatbread burnt a little bit with stuff on it. Okay, I'm sorry. Come on.
All right. Well, there is someone.
2015 trend, water. We're going to ice.
Water.
You know,
hard water. Toast. You know who can't make toast and admits it is Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray has a woman on her staff who makes her toast that she cannot, and she admits it. She's like, I can't make toast. I burn it. It's terrible. But Chef Amy, was toast a food trend of 2014? How does a chef look at toast?
Oh, well, we call it crostini. You have to dress it up a little bit. Is this completely different?
Are you just talking about Wonder Bread toast?
They're talking about a quadruple toaster?
A
rectangular piece of bread.
Yeah.
Sliced flat.
Right.
Toasted and stuff on it.
Why is that different from crostini? It sounds like crostini.
But they're calling it toast now.
But geometrically, crostini is not square usually.
No, it's not. It's kind of boatish.
Right. I only have one toast story, which is although I have dreadlocks and a hipster mustache, I don't smoke pot. I've never smoked pot nor eaten it. But in college, I lived in a frat house, and I would go every Sunday across the hall to Sideshow Paul Ferrari's room where they would – now, these were Johns Hopkins students trying to think of new ways to smoke pot. So you would have thought there'd be some innovation there, but things would just go disastrously wrong. And I had a toaster, and I would eat a loaf of toasted bread, and I would make a loaf of toasted bread for them. And now there was probably a contact high involved. But I would say toast for me petered out in like 1989.
It's very Blues Brothers of you.
Yeah. But what – so give me – all right, Chef Amy, you worked through 2014 in kitchens. Any trend you saw that you found – annoying or enlightening or somewhere in between?
One thing I found in New York that really annoyed me was ramps.
Ramps. Well, yes. Because once a year for 3 weeks,
everybody gets really excited.
We put them on pizza. Now, I went to Ramp Fest in Saugerties, New York.
Really?
I was up there. I have a group, Team Pizza. We meet every month. We go to a new pizza place. We travel, and then we go to a dive bar afterwards. And Brian and Nicole, part of the group, have a house up there. It was awesome. We made pizza, flatbread, toast, if you will, on the grill.
Round toast.
And ate it. But then we went to Ramp Fest, which was really kind of disappointing. We didn't have to pay to get in. We waited. It was like, you know, going to a Broadway show at intermission. But it was a lot of little cups of... Honestly, it was like compost. If you had eaten, I would have been like, "Oh my god, what?" You know,
leaves.
Yeah. Oh, what? You know, this is delicious. This is green bird shit. But I don't know what happened at Ramp Fest. Maybe that was the ultimate of like ramps. So I could see ramps being annoying. They do. They're sort of in between. For those who don't know, the one guy who listened to us in Arizona, ramps are like between a scallion and a leek, and they are flavorful. But in New York, food bar, we go ramp
crazy.
It's
a spring onion. It's the harbinger of spring. Yes. That's what gets everybody really excited. But
well, the harbinger of the break is coming up because our engineer Liz is going to give us some wonderful Roberta salad, leak free and ramp free. I guess I have to take a leak. But we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with Chef Amy Cunningham and eating disorder.
Yeah.
Life is what they
listening to Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hi, I'm Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I love Reggie Watts.
Yeah. I love this new Roberta's pizza that has some kick.
We've been watching Crazy Legs just literally choke through the.
But what is in the? It's called Lamb of God. It has lamb sausage, but it's got some spice. Is that
pretty spicy?
Harissa? Yeah. Is that? I don't know what that is, but wow. excuse me, I'm in tears. So happy.
Dude, you don't have to see. It's radio.
Well, anyway, we were talking about food trends with Chef Amy Cunningham. Right? As it goes. What is that? Can you identify that? I'm not putting you on the spot as a chef.
No, I mean, I would probably agree with Harissa, but it's got like a vinegar to it, too. It's I don't know.
Is that... I am in like full Golden Globes tears at this point, and I won nothing last night other than bartending with the sound on. Golden Globes obviously referring to Sienna Miller and Jennifer Lopez and Kate Hudson's
and getting punched in the nose until your eyes do bleed.
Okay. Yes, but I am a big, I'm a huge Tina Fey fan, so it was enjoyable. But anyway, food trends. What else you got on the list there, Reverend?
Well, I mean, the understand that one of the things that started this show was a food trend. It was the Cronut started the show. Let me explain why. Myself and Paul Gerard were at his place, and we were. My girlfriend Judy McGuire came in and goes, "Have you ever heard about this thing, the Cronut?" And he was so appalled by the fact that this thing existed and that people were waiting hours.
Yeah. Dominic now, Ansel Bakery,
yeah,
down on
now,
Spring Street.
Now, yep. The thing is, that was a 2013 trend for us because we started the show back then. But according to Time Magazine,
yes,
that was going to be the 2014 trend, which means that if you read Time Magazine, you are really out of touch.
Yes, yes.
You know,
I don't understand how Time can vote the person of the year, and then it's like not a person, and then it's like a bad guy, too. Like, isn't that in the rules? Like, don't vote for a bad guy?
But I mean,
it's supposed to be like the most newsworthy.
They voted for Obama, and half the country thinks he's a bad guy. So, I mean,
The Cronut, I had a Cronut.
Well, all right.
But it wasn't that good.
It's
he has a better pastry there called the DMK, which is a cross between a croissant and a popover. So the Cronut,
that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Because a popover has
good,
a flakiness
buttery.
To it.
And you don't have to wait in line for it. But the whole like shot glass made of cookies filled with milk.
Well, no. Hold on. As far as the media is concerned.
Oh, the media guy.
I want to go through a couple of the predictions. All right. Reader's Digest.
Oh, here they still make that?
Yes, they do. And corpses still read it. Reader's Digest predicted the following couple. I'm not going to go through the whole list because it was too ridiculous. Uh-huh. But the number one thing on their list was lemons was going to be.
I saw that. I read that.
Lemons.
Yeah.
Is there
it was an overall citrus thing, but they had lemons.
Is there going to be a scurvy outbreak of 2015? If the Billy Joel song comes true, Miami 2017 will be like, oh yeah, the scurvy outbreak of 15 really got us.
I'm glad I drink gin and tonic.
You know what number two? Wait. Yeah. You know what number two was?
Number two. I have no idea.
Pasta.
That's new and exciting.
That's the trend.
Why do they still publish? Who's reading this?
I think they just recycled it from the previous century.
Yeah,
I could see you know that time being excited about pasta. All right. So was there one food trend though for both of you that enthralled you? Something that you liked or embraced?
Not really.
No.
I mean, to
nothing.
Be honest.
No.
Nothing for you, Amy?
No, I'm really a traditionalist. Like, I just like really classic things prepared well.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the problem, okay, the way I look at food trends, right, and I think we've talked about this before, is like, look, sushi, I'm old enough to remember when sushi was like, what? Raw fish? Really?
Yeah,
you know,
fair
like,
enough.
Really? You're eating
fair
raw
enough.
Fish?
Right.
And then I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
That didn't become just a food trend. It became a food convention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is great. Balsamic vinegar.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I remember when balsamic vinegar was not a big, like, oh, what is this? Oh, wow. This is really tasty.
Yes.
Thank you for introducing this to me. HuffPo predicted that Spam fries...
What?
We're gonna look it up. Huffington Post.
They should have gone poutine
for 2015 or 2014.
2014.
American poutine.
Really?
I'm going for where everybody got the shit wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, no, right. I was looking at that earlier.
Spam fries.
Spam fries
in Hawaii.
Wait, no, there's more.
Got it.
Stuffed nachos and waffle tacos. They actually said that these are trends happening in 2014, and I'm like, these aren't trends. These are freaky little fucking situations that you are exploiting. You know?
They were almost there because isn't that big, those two, like Taco Bell and Doritos make those, those horrible things. Isn't something supposed to happen? Like, isn't Neil Patrick Harris going to eat one on the Oscars or the Tonys?
And explode.
Oh, my God.
I had one. I was like, my goodness. They've taken shit and shit and put it together. And somehow it's
still
triple
shit.
Triple shit.
It's three great shits that taste great together.
I honestly just want them to bring back pink slime and a little cube so I can have that just by itself. Gluten, though, right? Gluten was that 2014?
Gluten, I think, is a little old. But I will tell you this one. This is a good one. This isn't a thing. It's a taste.
Right.
Have you guys heard of umami?
Oh yeah.
Oh, the
but that's not
the,
a 20. Six, that's not a 2014
no, that's
thing.
Well, hold on.
That's according to Forbes, it is. According to Forbes magazine,
I learned about umami in culinary school. It's been around for a while.
According to Forbes magazine, said that umami is the new consumer trend. Here's what they described it as, and I didn't know shit about umami.
Right.
I thought it was like, what is it? A shellfish of some kind? But it's not. It's a taste. Profile is that the best way to say it? And this is the part that I don't understand. It's a taste between sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. That's like saying I'm angry, sad, fearful, and
you've just described how you feel on the L train.
Could you taste L train?
L train, yes. I think that I don't know if that exists. I would agree with you that
umami's just supposed to be like a savory thing. It's supposed to be like,
but it's from a glutamate.
Yeah.
All right. And the glutamate that I grew up with is monosodium glutamate.
Yeah.
Also MSG, known as
That's where they first came up with the umami was.
Right. So are you trying to, is Forbes magazine trying to tell me that Chinese restaurants are going to be, you know, on the phone, it's like, would you like extra MSG? Umami, umami. You know,
umami is the new MSG. They should make
a
t-shirt.
It's a glutamate. It is. All right. You know?
All right, so it sounds like no food trend enthralled you. And looking ahead to 2015, is there a food that you feel is under-recognized that has to come to the forefront? Or that something that is going to go over the boat? Anything, Amy, is there something that you like working with that you haven't seen on a lot of menus in New York?
Or a place that does something unique or something to that effect?
No, I think I'd like to see people do less.
Do less. All right.
I think people are trying way too hard to like reach out and do something nobody's ever seen before, and they should try and just do something really well with fresh ingredients from locals.
Your former coworkers at Yardbirds opened up Root and Bone, took you over the old Mama space on 3rd between B and C, and they make what I consider the best fried chicken in the city.
Delicious.
And they use a sweet tea brine, which I hadn't seen anywhere else, and it does give it, speaking of umami, or however you say that, it gives it salinity, but sweetness at the same time. And I've never had that in a chicken. I've had really good spice coming from, like, Willie Mae's Scotch House in New Orleans, where you bite into it, and you can't tell how in the world they imbued the whole thing with this amazing spice. I get the same, but in a different sense, sweet and salty from Root and Bone. Other Yardbird alumni opening other places?
Actually, you were talking about going to Miami. Sure. One of my favorite chefs, Phil Bryant, opened a place, and this isn't in New York, but the local, like, hands down, I can't wait to eat there. So I'm going to send you that way. That's
absolutely.
He was the CDC at Yardbird.
Like,
his food's outrageous, and it's all very southern, like, roots type stuff, like, really just basic. how to smoke something, how to take the flavor meat out there.
To flip it, though, the other extreme, sadly, in New York is the single food restaurant. I'm thinking specifically of Biscuit. I think that's what it's called. It sells a $13 biscuit with jam and butter, and the lines are out the door.
There's a place called Egg Shop that sells nothing but egg sandwiches. That's it, just egg sandwiches.
Which we used to call a deli.
Exactly.
I guess so. We have to be told, you're only allowed to have one dish. Smack, I went to. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want Gruyere. Yeah, exactly.
See, the thing is about like Smack, I don't mind that it's a delivery joint. But like, right. The fact that you're going there to like, why am I going to go sit someplace where I can have two options or three options?
It's like, all right. Speaking of Smack and a place that we have trounced, this leads into my next story.
Macaroni and cheese, right? Not.
Yes.
Okay.
The meatball shop. Meatball shop, which I'm going to trounce again as I say. That and artichoke pizza might be the two worst food establishments in New York. But what do I know? The meatball shop, they have an NBC sitcom. The artichoke guys have a Food Network show, Pizza Cuts.
You know we hate the freaking meatball shop.
I know. Here's what I was going to say. So a former coworker, a manager, a very attractive woman who I worked with, now is running or is a manager at the meatball shop. And I thought, you know, now that we don't work together, maybe I should call her up and ask for a date. And I did leave a phone message where, unfortunately, I don't know what went wrong. I was trying to go with, like, the end of the year, and we would raise a toast or clink our glasses together. And what came out is, let's get together and chink. I couldn't get it back. And it was just like, oh, she'll definitely call me after leaving a wonderful racial slur on
her.
Is she Asian? No, but, okay. You know, she's not Caucasian. So it's sort
she
of called like,
back and go, more MSG, huh? Yeah. Umami.
So then, last night, I'm working a 12-hour bartending shift, and I have the hostess, Warby Parker, a very nice girl. I'm like, hey, call down in the meatball shop and ask if this person is working. And she, what would I say if she picks up or she gets on the phone? I said, well, just say your old pals from where we work want to come down and see if you want to grab a drink after work. So Warby Parker, I call this girl Tori Warby Parker because she wears the glasses. She calls down there, and this girl answers the phone. She hangs up on her. Comes back and tells me I hung up on her. I panicked. And I'm like, what? This is like a 14-year-old boy calling. Like, this is like a middle school problem. I said, all right. So I go to the phone and I go to call, but now it just rings and rings because obviously the caller ID is saying the restaurant from which just hung up on her, and she obviously thinks it's a joke. But Chef Amy knows this person, so apparently you're going to help out, and maybe we'll go for a drink together. But I've dug myself a pretty big hole. But you have this you may not even want to talk about, but I'm going to ask it, that you have a date coming up.
Oh, goodness.
New York dating. But this is what I want to bring up. You come from having spent so much time in Alaska, where men are men, rugged men. I've been watching a lot of old Jack Nicholson movies, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, the postman always rings twice. You can see why. There was a toughness. And now you're in New York, and correct me if I'm wrong, most of the men are pretty
pansies.
Flimsy. Flimsy have pansies, exactly.
God forbid you go to Seattle.
Oh. Pansies.
Yeah, like the town I was at in Alaska, like the guys would, they'd do my laundry, they would go kill something, clean it, cook it, and bring it to me. And that's courting.
And New York, the people you've been working with recently, not that they were trying to date you, but they, you know, it's like they're working hard in the kitchen. What do these guys want to drink? You know, I'm the bartender. What do they want to drink? Amy comes out and goes, I don't know how to say this, but I will take a bourbon neat, and I need 7 Aperol spritzes for the rest of the guys in the kitchen.
I started calling them asshole spritzes.
Yeah. I was like, really? Really? Do they need the orange garnish?
Of course they do.
So, yes.
Actually, that's another one.
What?
Let's talk about a little bit about alcohol in 2014.
I had a lot of alcohol in 2014.
Awesome. Here's the one thing. Fuck bitters. Okay? Enough with the fucking bitters.
What?
Enough with the fucking bitters.
What if you have the hiccups?
Yeah.
Okay. No. We're not talking about it as a folk cure.
I love Peychaud's bitters from New Orleans.
Oh, really?
So as long as you exclude those, in case the good people at Peychaud's want to send me a gallon bottle, then I would say there are some bitters that are pretty far out there that I don't understand.
So you're into the bitter trend. We actually have something positive to say. Okay, hold on.
You know what it is? I like taking the eyedropper and putting stuff in the drink, but I have no idea what it does. There's a line of bitters. Some you can tell. Grapefruit bitters. Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
But there's a whole line of these $20
MDMA
ones.
MDMA bitters. It's like, you know.
Well, they make habanero shrub, which is just spicy and is good.
Really?
Grapefruit habanero shrub, maybe? I don't know. But they make another one that's called like Miss Burlesque. and I don't even know what it is, and I don't know what it does to the drink, and I just go.
I can imagine what Miss Burlesque tastes like.
I'm going to make a prediction. I bet you next year they're going to be this year coming. They're going to be cooking with bitters.
Cooking with bitters.
I'm telling you,
I can see it.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to give a prediction that's not going to happen.
What?
Cooking with mouthwash.
Ah.
Cooking with like mouthwash dishes, scope, things that keep your breath.
Maybe you could make a syrup out of it. Reduce it down really a little nice glaze.
My roommate made a Riuniti reduction sauce.
That's horrible.
He called it. His dessert was called Oreo roll.
It's like Manischewitz shrimp.
He scraped out the insides of like three double packs of Oreos, formed it into a roll, and used the Riuniti reduction sauce.
Oh.
We had a series. We never filmed it. It was called Demented Chef. He would regurgitate food. He would cook it in his mouth and then put it on the plate. I don't know how it worked.
Did he have a bunch of baby birds?
It was not a good idea. But.
All right, I got a question. All this right. is one that actually I'm curious about, and I'm not going to tear it down.
All right.
Trash fish is what they call it. All right. Some of them include sea robin and wolf eel. All right. Now, here's the thing. I don't know anything about this, but what I do know is that what fishermen are trying to do is reinvent some of these fish that they basically turn into mulch.
Right.
When they're caught in salmon or trout or whatever. And I hear it's a trend.
Okay.
Even Well Magazine said it was, but I would like to see that.
Chef Amy,
a fish fan.
Do you upstate New York, Syracuse? Is it carp? I know I'm putting you on the spot, and you probably have no idea. Yeah. I went to a.
Do you mean carp exists outside of a tattoo?
Well, no. I went to.
I know we had carp in the
I
Midwest.
I went to a potato eating contest. Like, it was their local salted potatoes because they couldn't do the fish. There was a festival. I think it was carp. But it was a bottom feeder, considered a trash fish that they were trying to reinvent. And I think we've seen this before. You reinvent it by just renaming it, right?
Yeah.
Calling it something. Because there are other fish that have become successful after the renaming. So viewers, go to 4Q Radio and let's rename carp as something that sounds really good.
What was the eel you mentioned?
The other ones are sea robin and wolf eel.
I think wolf eel is a great name. I would love to serve wolf eel.
That's like my next band.
I had,
it's like, we are wolf eel.
Yes. I had the invasive snakehead.
Oh, really?
Which is a fish that eats other
parasitic fish.
Parasitic fish. Yeah. And they serve it at a Thai place in my neighborhood. It was not very good.
It's an environmentally parasitic fish, which is amazing because it basically comes into an ecosystem and takes it over.
So maybe there should be a restaurant that is just all things that kill other things that we don't like, which brings us to the last topic, which was before the show started.
What kills hipsters? Because I mean,
we were joking that Roberta should do a Soylent Green pizza.
Yes.
And Chef Amy said that there might be some restaurants.
I feel like I read something recently where you can, like, in certain underground CD areas, not in the U.S., get human meat.
Human meat, and I don't know where those humans come from. But
it might even be off live humans, like, because a lot of people are into like mutilation and things like that. Now. Okay. I think that they'll actually remove something.
Your waiter's like, please select from my body what part you'd like to eat next. Yeah,
that'd be interesting. I mean.
I ate hufu, human tofu, which was made. It's a vegetarian option for cannibals. Yeah, for FHM magazine years ago.
We are doing cannibal episodes.
He's
we are
going
to do it. All I'm obsessed with.
So
this.
Here's what we've got. We're going to wrap it up. But in 2015, please visit Chef Amy at her new place. Give us the name and location.
It's the Camlin, and it's in Williamsburg, 175 Kent Avenue, Kent and North 3rd.
And that's going to be a wonderful wine bar with some great food. And in 2015, we're going to do Where's Paldo? Chef Paul Girard.
We're gonna check my smoking gauge.
Can the Reverend watch me eat a giant ice cream sundae made of tobacco leaf ice cream and not flinch and not smoke? Yeah. It's going to be a great 2015. We're continuing on with eating disorder, and we love HeritageRadio.org for not only supporting us, but for not censoring us. Especially that I thought masturbation sleeves were going to be a big trend in 2014. I kept bringing them up, so I'm going to retire that one.
Wait, you ate one of those?
No. Although, you know what's weird? It looks like I think I told this story on air. At a fish market in South Korea, I bought what I could only call sea penis. And then I got home, I'm like, I don't know what that was. And I kept looking it up, and then I just typed sea penis into Google, and every image was of what I ate. So that's going to be my 2015 trend, is sea penis from South Korea. You heard it here. I'm eating disorder. I'm Crazy Legs Conti.
I'm the Rev Spiro.
And thank you, Chef Andy. Ew. And we will see you in 2015 for some new food trends.
listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.